Bear Down Bears fans, Monday is here. The madness has finally come to an end. Lance, we have all survived Chicago Bears Twitter Civil War of 2024. And we got to talk about the decision that Ryan Poles chose to make at the quarterback position, trading Justin Fields. Also, got to look at some of the options that could be coming in here to play the quarterback position. I think we probably know which one, but listen, it doesn't matter as much which one now because you feel really good about what the situation is that a quarterback can come into. All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Lance, when you heard the news come across on Saturday, what was your first thought?
Actually, I was sleeping when it happened. I was taking a nap, and then when I woke up, my phone was blowing up, you know, had a lot of missed messages, and then obviously I saw it happen. And, you know, the first thing I could think is that's a really good place for him. You know, it's a really good place. Tomlin is a proven winner. You know, he's a proven winner, and I think they love to run the ball there. It's a place where Ben Roethlisberger, you know, if you want to talk about a quarterback that sits in the pocket and takes a little bit more time, Ben Roethlisberger is known to do that, you know. Yeah. So it's just a situation, I think. And then you have Russell Wilson there. Russell's on a one-year deal, so it relieves a lot of pressure off of him right away, you know. And so I just think it's a really good situation. They have a great fan base. You know, they're a defense-ridden town where they love their defense. And again, like I said, he has a proven track record. He wins Super Bowls over there. You know, they don't just lay down for anybody. They go out there and they fight every year.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting to see him in that black and yellow now. I mean, like, and being able to, the part I love about Tomlin, when Tomlin was on Pivot Podcast, I think it's the one thing that Justin Fields needs. He talked about how so many coaches in the NFL today run away from coaching. So yeah. they don't pay attention to the responsibility of being a coach. Oh, this guy can't do that. This guy can't make this play. He can't become this. Like, no, you have to coach him to become that. You have to coach him to play that way. And so I do believe that Justin Fields has now gone to the best situation for him.
Yeah.
But and I'll ask you, go ahead.
You know, ask the question. I mean, I know what I want to say, but, you know, it has everything to do with the Chicago Bears and our organization, our team here in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, I wish Justin the best. I'll be rooting for him to succeed and to find success over there. But that is now, he is now part of the Pittsburgh story now. Yes. You know, and so Justin goes over and let's say Justin is successful. He becomes one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Listen, I will congratulate him. I'm happy. Like that's not our situation.
Yes.
We have to deal with what we have and what we have moving forward. You know, it's not, it can't be, oh man, it shoulda, coulda, woulda. Oh, you know, oh man. Or he doesn't play well, man, we made the right decision. Or he plays well. Oh, what were we thinking? You know, it's just, that's his situation. And I wish him the best. I'm rooting for him. Hope he finds all kinds of success. Our focus has to be on the Bears.
And that's where my question was going to go, because I'll ask you that. You listen, you've watched the NFL a long time. You've played in the NFL, had a long career. You've seen a lot of these big name quarterbacks and played against them that people say are the best to ever do it. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a quarterback that is going to be put in the position that our next quarterback is going to be put in here in Chicago, come into a situation that is this offensively rich? I mean, you're talking about DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett. You're probably going to be able to either add at the wide receiver position or add at the offensive line position, possibly both, if you end up taking maybe a Brendan Rice or a Cedric Van Pran later on in the draft. Like, there's a lot that could be added here. I don't believe we've ever seen, now this is all on paper, it's got to play.
Yeah.
But I don't believe we've ever seen a quarterback come into a situation, maybe outside of Pat Mahomes, that was this offensively rich to start off his career.
Yeah, just picked up the OC, the center from the Rams. You know, we have the guard from Buffalo. Obviously, Darnell Wright's here, Nate Davis, and like you said, we can add to that firepower on the offense and defensive line through the draft. He's really putting together a team that just about any quarterback should be able to step in here and be successful with.
Yeah, this feels like I guess that's the perfect name, right? To say a quarterback that's come in with just as many riches. This feels like a Brock Purdy situation. This feels like a last pick in the draft. You need to be able to still go out there and make plays. You can't be a slouch out there. But, right, we've seen three or four different quarterbacks thrive out in San Francisco where it's like, well, I don't know why in the world he's able to play. Well, Kyle Shanahan knows the heck he's doing. Now, you also have Kyle Shanahan, but this feels like a 49ers first-year Kansas City situation where you look at the team and you just go, listen, if you have any talent at all, and I think we think the top three quarterbacks in this draft are all pretty talented guys, you should be able to have some sort of success in this system outside of anything else. And this may be the best situation we've ever seen for a quarterback to develop that's been here in Chicago.
I think it's rare that you get a top 10 quarterback situation where he comes in and the team is set up for him. You know, most times when you're the top pick in the draft, the team is, you know, the Carolina Panthers of last year. You know, it's the team that's the worst, that played the worst, the absolute worst from the year before. Not a team that's actually going to be primed to compete for the division lead the upcoming year. So, it's got to be a dream for a top pick quarterback that's going to come in here, you know, and whoever gets that nod, man, you know, and we know where that's leaning toward, you know, well, I'll be rooting for him, you know what I mean? I'll be rooting for his success because his success is Bear success. And that's what we need.
And that's the part I love. Yeah. You bring up the Panthers last year. Like this is the situation Bryce Young came into versus what Caleb Williams and or Jaden Daniels or Drake May, whoever it is, probably going to be Caleb Williams, but we'll see. But whoever it is, this is the difference here, right? Chuba Hubbard, DJ Chark, Jonathan Mingo, Adam Thielen's leading the way on that. Hayden Hurst had 18 catches for 184 yards last year. Yeah, night and day offense there. Night and day offense. Versus Keenan Allen coming off a 1,200-yard season. Yeah. DJ Moore coming off a 1,000-plus-yard season. You've got Swift, who, listen, a little expensive for my blood, but a 1,000-yard running back that's going to be able to be explosive for you. Like, this is night and day. Based on what the first overall pick came into last season versus what whoever we select is going to be this season. Oh, and by the way, also the top defense had taken away the football interception wise last season is on the other side. You got options here, young fella.
Absolutely. It's a hell of a situation, and there's a lot of expectations. You know what I mean? There's a lot of expectations. You have a new quarterback, so does that, you know, it sort of gives you that you get a redshirt year a little bit. You get the redshirt year or is it, do we have to win this year? You know, you're kind of stuck in between both of those, but you know, it's an interesting situation because I still feel like this is a year that the Bears have to take a step forward. We have to.
I asked that over on we did a massive Chicago Bears roundtable on Saturday. That was, I mean, Joniak on there, Thayer on there. We had Carm on there. Check that out if you guys didn't get a chance to watch that. I mean, the Who's Who, David Kaplan on there, Chris Black on there. Like it was a great time breaking down the trade and stuff like that. But when you look at this upcoming season, and Joniak got a little, he was like, we shouldn't be putting numbers on what this next season is going to be. But I believe you have to, for Matt Eberflus's sake, you have to continue to step in the right direction for this coaching staff to me to remain in place. And what I like, the ideal situation of, guess what? We're going to hold on to guys and we're going to just develop through. We're going to work through the growing pains and 3 years down the road, we'll have it all figured out. But I don't believe that's the case. If you come out and you win six games next year, you're probably talking about a new coaching staff being in place. Do you feel like there is a threshold of wins that you need to see from this Chicago Bears team next year for everything to remain the same as it is this year?
Well, they still have a solid defense that we know of right now. We know of more than just paper. We have a defense that was consistent. You know, that was consistent. They were taking the ball away. They were a top five defense, you know, by the end of the year. So that alone gives you an opportunity to win games this upcoming year. So, and with the pieces that are intact this early, you have a whole offseason for everybody to build chemistry, understand the system that's being put in. You have a new offensive coordinator. You obviously have a new quarterback. You have a lot of new players that are coming in. On paper, it looks amazing, but I've seen the dream team in Philadelphia, you know, not make the playoffs. You know, so just because it looks good on paper doesn't mean that it's going to transition to the field. So it's going to have to take time. You know, to me, it's always offenses always move slower than defenses as far as execution. So let's see how it goes. I think we're going to have to be patient, but I think we'll be surprised. I think we'll be surprised in a good way. You know, I think that they're going to do things that we're going to be excited about.
I just love that every time we sit here and we're like, okay, maybe there's a little doubt in Ryan Poles here. Like, we didn't go get Danielle Hunter. All right, okay. You're going to do anything? What are we going to make happen here? Boom, fourth round pick, Keenan Allen. And yeah, maybe you look at the age and maybe you look at, you know, some of the injury history and go, wow, what an overpay on that. But again, it's about the development of the quarterback. It finally feels like the Chicago Bears are worried about the development of the quarterback. And it sucks, unfortunately, that Justin Fields is a casualty of that. But I'm sure Drew Bledsoe feels like it sucks that he didn't get the opportunity to try and go play for six championships. I'm sure that Alex Smith feels like it sucks that he didn't get the opportunity to try and go win more Super Bowls with that team, as you saw it take off with Pat Mahomes after him, right? Like, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I think what DJ Moore said stands out more than ever off of this trade. Business is business. And that's really just what it came down to at the end of the day. I don't think the Bears hate Justin Fields. I think, in fact, we heard the report from Courtney Cronin as we went out of Saturday that the Bears had better offers on the table for Justin Fields, but they sent him to where he wanted to go and where he felt that he could compete for a starting job. Does that do anything as maybe a player on the outside looking at an organization that a team did right by a player? Does that change perspective on you coming there that, you took less draft compensation to trade him away, but at the end of the day, you still traded him away? Is that a positive or a negative more so for the Bears in the future, you think?
I think it speaks a lot about polls, you know. You're a man of principle, you know. You're a man of principle, and don't allow, you know, the politics and the business to muddy your principles. If that's how you feel that much about the young man, and this is what you wanted to do, it's what you want to do. You know, I don't think that puts the Bears in turmoil, you know, by no means. We're in a great position. We're in a great position, and you're able to do right, like you said, by somebody that you have a lot of respect for. So, you know, whatever, man. Maybe we had another draft pick here or there, whatever. That doesn't mean that draft pick is going to work out anyway, you know. So, what's done is done. Business is business, and he handled it the way that he saw fit. And to me, he's doing a hell of a job right now.
Yeah, I thought it was very respectable. I mean, he trades him for a 2025 six that can become a fourth, right? Gives himself the option if Justin Fields plays 51% of the snaps this season. I don't expect him to play 51% of the snaps. I would almost be certain that the Steelers are like, you're going to play 49%. Like, we're going to make sure you play 50.9. You will not get to 51% of the snaps this
year. They probably won't try, but they wouldn't be able to keep him back if Russell gets hurt.
That's true. If Russell gets, or I think, right, listen, which Russ are we going to get? I like the second second half of last year Russ that we saw, but is that the Russ we're going to get next season? Or are we going to get 2 years ago Russ when he was with Nathaniel Hackett? Now, much better coaching situation there, but like, which Russ are you going to get? Because listen, you get 4 or 5 games in and he looks like Russ of 2 years ago. You got to turn to Justin Fields just for the fact that he can make magic out of nothing, I would think, realistically.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. It's a great situation, and Pittsburgh is a great landing spot. You know, he's going to love playing for Tomlin. You know, who wouldn't? I was hoping that the Bears would get Tomlin years ago, you know, when Lovey was gone. I was hoping that was one of the picks, but Pittsburgh lucked out and they got him, man. Lucky, good for them.
I mean, I'd have took Bruce Arians. You know, I mean, like, never mind. I'm not gonna run it back. Never, I'm not gonna send us down that trauma again. I always remember. But hey, appreciate you guys tuning in. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Hey, you'd have loved to play for Arians, wouldn't you?
I would have loved to. Yeah, I want to play for Arians. Shoot, of the three guys that were up, two of them I liked. We got the one I didn't like.
Yeah, it was a CFL highlights in the back just to show what he was doing.
Man, he could put up some real CFL numbers, man. Crazy numbers.
We put up 600 yards one game. Let me tell you right now, who are you playing against? The Alouettes. That's who we were. That's who we were.
Okay. Hold on. Pardon my back.
All right. Let me ask you this, Lance. Kind of going off of what we were just talking about, I guess, does this do something maybe for the future of the Bears, for other players around the league, knowing that, okay, this is a guy that does right by people? Do you think that makes it easier to get free agents to want to come here, to get people to want to be in the building when you see scenarios like this? Or is it, like we said, business is business, and that part, it doesn't matter. Every situation kind of different.
Maybe. You know, you look at a situation, you know, an organization that's loyal to their players is kind of unheard of nowadays. You know, you don't hear much of it anymore. It's you know, every man for themselves. Every organization for themselves, you know. So when somebody does do right, it probably rings throughout the league and the youth, the young guys that are coming around. Hey, if I'm going to try, you know, a swing a bat somewhere, maybe I should swing with the Chicago Bears. They seem to want to know how to treat players.
Yeah, it feels like that. And I think that we look at the major situations, right? We look at Roquan now with Justin Fields and we go, well, is there really a loyalty there? If you were loyal to Justin, maybe you keep him around, let him play with this team. Were you unloyal to Roquan by moving him out? And it all comes back to Ryan's plan. And that's why I respect it so much. He's like, listen, I've got a plan. This is how we're going to run it. And this is the best way to execute that plan. For the Chicago Bears, I think that does a little bit more. But I still don't want you guys to be in bad situations. He sent Roquan Smith to a team he could compete for Super Bowls on if they can stop shooting himself in the foot.
And Roquan, he got paid the amount of money he wanted. So yes. I think when you look at loyal, I think some of us are looking at it the wrong way. I think he was being loyal to Roquan because the Bears weren't going to pay him that dollar amount that he wanted. So they sent him somewhere where he could get that. He got that. He's on a championship competing team. You know, he's the captain of defense. He's a playmaker. You know what I mean? He's a guy that's up for defensive player of the year every year over there. So, you know, in my opinion, the Bears did do right by Roquan. He's reaping the benefits.
100%. I think that's the part that a lot of people don't look at, right? And even how they've dealt in the offseason, even how they've dealt with players who they want to release, they don't sit. You know, a lot of teams will do like the, we're going to drag this out until it's the best case scenario for us and maybe try to re-sign a guy. The Bears be like, we're not re-signing you, dog. You go find a team. Like, as soon as you need, the second you need to go find a team, go find a team. Justin Jones, gone. You're not coming back. Appreciate you for playing the game. We loved you here, but
business is business.
Find your next job. And it is. Business is business. But I think that how Ryan Poles has done business, a lot of people have their feelings wrapped up in it because they were very attached to Justin, and rightfully so. But how you conduct the business while still moving things in the right direction. To me, I think, like you said, Ryan Poles feels like a little bit of an anomaly in the modern NFL. I think most of us think of guys like David Temper down in Carolina, where you're giving a coach 1 year and you're firing him, right? Or what Houston did for what, 4 or 5 seasons after the show? Yeah, I mean,
Cleveland had a bunch of 1 year coaches, and I mean, it was like 5 years in a row.
Yeah,
you know, guys got 1 year and then you're out, one and done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's, we'll see. I've said this before, you know, never going to like all of Poles' decisions, you know what I mean? But he has a whole lot of responsibility, you know, and I certainly respect his decisions, you know? And so, you know, on top of, you know, before the Justin Fields trade, there were just all these moves that were made that I'm like, wow, man, this is a good move. Wow, this is a good move. This makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. And we'll, you know, we have an opportunity to trade back, get a lot of these picks back, you know, and then the Justin Fields trade happens, you know, I'm like, eh, you know, I don't like it, but the way that you have things set up for the Bears, I can't argue that, you know, I really can't argue that. So, you know, that's, you know, it's some kind of bittersweet, but you know, listen, yeah. I do understand the business, and I do also understand that I think Justin's in a better place, a better situation for himself.
Yeah, and I think that to me it made it easier. As somebody who wanted Justin to be here, as somebody who wanted Justin to win here, to me it made it easier because my biggest question the entire time was how do we get off this carousel of hell? How do we do that? How do we get off the flaming horses that we're on that we can't seem to get off of? Because first year, we're firing a head coach. Or we got a new quarterback, third-year head coach. We fired a head coach. Mm-hmm. Now we got a new system, new head coach. He's working with a young quarterback. Doesn't work for 2 years. Now all of a sudden, you get rid of the young quarterback. You got that head coach with a new quarterback. Like, that's what we've been on for so long, and I needed to see how do you get us off of that. The roster that he has built through free agency offensively, to me, I think allows you for the first time in my lifetime, for sure, to be able to get off of that carousel, because you've got a team that not only I look at the players, but also, right, remember we talked about the offensive coaching staff. They got a lot of dudes that should have been offensive coordinators possibly this season. As the offensive coordinators, assistant coaches, like that to me sets you up in the long run.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of mess from the NFL all the way down to youth football. You know, trust me when I say that. You know, and it goes back to what Tomlin said. You know, a lot of coaches are running away from coaching, but they'll take that check. They'll get up, they'll take that check because they know that you can climb in the NFL faster than any job in America. Once you're in, shoot, you take an assistant job, I'll be the assistant special teams coach. You know, within 3 years, I'm either the special teams coach, I'm the tight ends coach. Within 4 years, I'm the passing coordinator. And next thing you know, people are talking about me being a head coach.
That's I never forget who we have that it felt like that with after it was a Sean Desai, I think, was our DC after Vic. Like, I just remember, like, out of nowhere, he was just a DC. I was like, what happened? Like, how did we get to this guy?
That unreal. It was unreal. The ascent of Sean Desai. Good for him.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think is he still a DC in the league? I believe he's still a DC somewhere. So
he got fired in Philly.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Let's talk about the defensive side a little bit as well today, Lance, because I think that you're now in an interesting situation. Looking at the pieces you have offensively, a lot of people would say, okay, you go out and you draft Caleb Williams. Maybe you go with an offensive weapon on the at 9, or maybe try and move back and add an offensive weapon in there at 9. But I think you're in a very interesting position here because there's still some positions on that defensive side that have not been addressed, and I think that the Bears would like to. So today's Road to the Draft brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. Lance, you're on the clock right now. A couple names out there that are still interesting names. You can go veteran defensive end at. I think they like Jervon Dexter at the 3-tech to try and figure it out next year. But Jadeveon Clowney, Chase Young are both still out there. But you do have that 9th pick where you possibly could go get a guy like a Jared Verse. Are you going through free agency or are you going through the draft to try and address the defensive end, knowing that there's still options on offense you can attack?
I've got to get some of those picks back from the trades. All right. Now, if I'm going with the first pick, I'm taking Caleb, number one, then I'm going to have to trade back from that 9th pick. I'm going to have to trade back, get a couple more picks, move back in first a little bit, but there will be some top quality interior defensive linemen that are available. Now, let's say if I decide I'm going to trade back that first pick and I trade that first pick back, you know, to pick 3, you know, yeah. Maybe I trade back again, get even more picks and continue to load up. I think we'll be in a very good spot. You know, there'll be plenty of options there. You know, obviously I'm still heavy on getting that top left tackle. I really like Byron Murphy II from Texas. He played nose, but he really is a true 3 technique that I think would be next level. I think he's an elite level destructive force in the middle. And I think all of our DBs will have and linebackers will have, you know, record years with that guy in the middle. So and be able to rotate with Jervon. You know, it's just a great situation. It's a great situation. There's a lot of options. And just pick up the phone, have somebody call and tell me what you have to offer, and I'll tell you exactly what we're gonna do with the Bears.
Do you feel comfortable with the pieces that we have coming off of the other side of Montez Sweat right now? I mean, like, realistically speaking, DeMarcus Walker came here as kind of he was the 2, but he was really like the number 1 guy. And that kind of always never sat right with me. I was like, all right, 7 sacks last year, but like, we know why. It's because he had the guy opposite of him. Now he's got the guy opposite of him. Do you feel comfortable going into the season with DeMarcus Walker being that main name opposite of Montez Sweat?
I wouldn't go into this upcoming year with DeMarcus Walker as a starter if I didn't have to. I think he'd be an excellent rotational guy for us. And I'm, you know, guy that could pick up the slack, and we probably won't miss a whole lot with him in there. But but in my opinion, if we can, I'd like to get somebody on the elite level, whether that be through free agency or through the draft. Yeah. But this is a situation where you just got rid of the quarterback that is split, where half the world thinks that, or maybe a little more than half the world thinks that he didn't have a fair shot. You put this team together now, whoever comes in has to be given the best opportunity to succeed.
Yeah.
There can't be any excuses for this quarterback. So where Justin's now in a place where he doesn't have a lot of pressure, the guy that comes in here is going to be in a pressure cooker. All right. Yeah. Pressure cooker. All right.
what kind of meat you got in the pressure cooker, Lance? What kind of meat you throwing in the pressure cooker right now?
Chuck roast. Little Chuck roast. Slow cook.
Can't go wrong with a good Chuck roast, man. let's hope it don't fall apart like that Chuck roast will.
It's going to fall, but you got to get that good sear first. You got to get a good sear first. Okay. Now. That's what we need, that sear first. That's season one.
See, you got to think of it like this, right? It's fine being in the pressure cooker as long as all the ingredients come together to make the perfect meal. You know what I mean?
If you can, listen, before you're able to taste it, as long as you can smell it, like when you open the door, you come to the house, you can smell it, you know everything is right. It's all right. Okay, it's going to be all right.
You get that little bit of... All right. What is that?
That's the North Division. Oh, yeah, that's the NFC North Division right there.
That's the NFC North
Division. Yes, it is.
I love it. Where would you rank right now the Bears weaponry on paper coming into the North? Where do you feel like the weaponry that the Bears have is right? Like, I would probably still say Detroit one, but I mean, like,
Detroit one,
the Bears Detroit. Have a pantry of weapons now.
Yeah. Shoot. They're arguably number two. You know, you look at, Minnesota has Justin Jefferson and Addison. But you know, they lost Madison, as a running back. They don't have a quarterback, you know. So that's true. That puts us ahead of them. Now, you know, Green Bay is a little bit different. You know, they had great play from their quarterback last year, and some of the I would say no name receivers became names.
Yeah,
you know, they lost Aaron Jones, but. Listen, they got Josh Jacobs.
Dang, Josh Jacobs.
Right. They lost some of their old linemen. So we're going to see. I think right now, arguably, on paper, without being on the field, Chicago Bears right now arguably have the second most talented arsenal in the NFC.
North. You got to love that. I mean, listen, yeah. you got to love that. Like, again, we've talked about allowing the quarterback to actually have a situation to develop. And how many quarterbacks started off with I think what Justin started off with at quarterback, you had Allen Robinson, who, because he didn't sign a contract extension, they weren't throwing him the football. Mm-hmm. You had Darnell Mooney. Mitch's biggest name was probably Allen Robinson as well, but like his number two is Anthony Miller. You haven't had
great
situations for quarterbacks to go out there and be like, I've got a litany of weapons to go to here. You had Trey Burton. Who got the yips, the NFL yips. I've never seen that before. I had never seen that before.
It was tough, man. I'll tell you that. It was definitely tough.
I love the way that Ryan Poles has built this out. Does it feel weird that he's almost flipping everything that we've known? We're seeing him focus big capital. Not to say he hasn't done it on the defensive side, but it feels like this offseason more to the offensive side to allow that offense to thrive, to allow that young quarterback to thrive. Does it feel weird that we're finally doing it this way? Because I feel like it's always been, go get the best defenders, we'll run the football, we'll figure it out, and we'll make sure that the quarterback play doesn't kill us.
No, you know, you really saw that trend last year. You know, I mean, when he first came in, he picked defensive guys, you know. Yep. He picked Jalen and Kyler, and it was smart. It was a smart pick for the value of the player. And you look, you have Jalen Johnson, who just got paid.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good pick. It was a solid pick. Obviously, Brisker. But now the focus is, and you really did see offense take a step last year. You know, we had a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, we started putting up numbers in the back end of games. So we're in a place now where it's like, all right, we've got firepower, but let's keep our feet on the gas. Let's keep our feet on the gas. We haven't been in a situation like this. I don't know. Since I played, definitely haven't been in a situation like this. So we have an opportunity.
Comparable to the, what is it, the 10 team with B. Marsh, Alshon, Forte, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
Left tackle on that team. I mean, I think Braxton Jones is better than what y'all had at left tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think weaponry-wise, definitely comparable, but you're missing that offensive line factor there, too.
Yeah.
Missing the offensive line factor. And then, you know, let's find out who this quarterback is and how this quarterback plays. And then we can really nix that conversation, you know, because we could put numbers up back that. Jay and them, they could put numbers up, but they didn't put up a lot of points.
That's true. It was a very yards, because it was the number one offense. Is it number one offense yards-wise
like
this season? But like, scoring wise, it was middle of the pack. It was like 15th or something. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can finally put it all together. Some interesting names added. We've talked about what this offense is built up. You add Keenan Allen in. When you saw fourth round pick for Keenan Allen, what were your thoughts on that one?
Great choice. I'm happy with all of Poles' decisions up to this point. You know, I'm not obviously not happy about Fields, but you know, this life, man. I knew I wouldn't be happy with all of his decisions, but he made so many good decisions before Justin that I'm like, all right, you know, okay, I got you.
That's literally how I felt about it. It was like, Justin's gone. That sucks. The next guy gets to throw to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, though? Like, what is
right? right. It's
like that was a great get to me. Being a guy from the West Coast who had to come play in Chicago, what tips would you give Keenan Allen on adjusting to Soldier Field and the weather that he's about to have to adjust his body to coming from LA to Chicago?
Well, he's a vet, you know. He's a vet, you know. And so there's not a whole lot that I would say to him, you know. He knows how to go out and get it done. He's just going to have to get it done. And everything he'll need to learn, he'll learn at practice, because games, I mean, you have the heaters, you have the a whole army of people out there keeping you warm in between in timeouts and all that stuff when you're on the sidelines. Practices where you're really going to get acclimated to the weather, you know, because unless Eberflus is letting him practice indoors all week long, which he shouldn't, and I don't think he is, you know, you'll learn how to adjust to the cold in those situations.
You didn't have no extra tricks to stay warm on the sideline. You weren't doing the Bart Scott popping a Viagra before the game to stay warm. Right?
No, sir. No. You know, listen, I didn't wear long sleeves. I didn't wear long sleeves.
Yeah.
You know? It's because the rule is you only got to be tough on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right.
It's funny because we had Bernard Berrien on last week. Me and J-Mac were talking with him, and he said, like, that was you guys' standard. Like, you did not wear long sleeves on the field. And he's like, all right, I guess I'm not wearing sleeves. You know what I mean? I'm gonna adjust. I'm gonna get up. Right. In it. Hey, B twice was like, y'all don't do what?
I tried to wear long sleeves my rookie year, and my long sleeves got ripped off of me. You know, that's how I realized on the way out to the game. You know, Brian Robinson comes up. He was like, we don't wear long sleeves. I was like, all right, well, hold on. Let me go. Rip. Guess my sleeves are gone now, you know? And
what is that feeling? Just like, that shirt was a nice shirt, dog. Like, I like that.
Well,
shirt.
You know, the pad, shoulder pads, all that stuff, it's so tight. So I'm like, all right, shoot. I got to go take all this stuff off. I got to do it fast and get back out. You know, so I'm starting to pull my stuff up and try to get my uniform off. And he grabs my shoulders like, no, rip. I'm like, all right, yeah.
Every now and then you're reminded that, like, football players are really strong guys. Like,
yeah, no doubt.
I can't even imagine just snatching the sleeves off some shirts like it's nothing, dude.
Yeah,
man. Oh, man. What is are you all in now on a specific quarterback coming in? Is there one that you've seen? I've gone back and I've watched a lot of the tape on Caleb, so I am okay with the Bears bringing in Caleb. I've said that this young man will be able to play. I didn't think he'd have this situation to come into no matter where he went, but yeah. I've always said that the young man will be able to play, that he's going to be a guy that I'm not worried about him not being an NFL quarterback. But is there somebody who maybe you're locked in on a little bit more than others? I heard Dan Orlovsky say Jaden Daniels should be one. I was like, all right, guys, calm it down now.
I don't know. I'm more curious to see the decision. You know what I mean? We all know who most likely it's going to be, but you never know. I just know that whichever quarterback is chosen, if it's Caleb, it's going to come into a very good situation. So whoever comes in, they'll be right in the driver's seat. There is going to be a ton of pressure, but heck, you know, that's part of the game.
Yeah, that's what comes with it, honestly. And I think that especially playing quarterback in Chicago, I would almost say a ton of pressure, right? But probably, like we said with that pressure cooker, maybe this pressure is on low. There's still the pressure there, but it's probably turned down a lot because when I'm in the what am I going to do to make a play here? It's not the situation that Justin Fields was in. Like you said earlier, right? A lot of people feel like Justin Fields got the raw end of the deal. There's no raw end of the deal on this one. You get Keenan Allen, you get Swift, you get Everett, you get Komet, you get DJ Moore. You've got a litany of weapons. Like it's got to feel like there's pressure, but if you're that number one pick, this has to be the lowest amount of pressure we've seen a number one pick deal with.
You're also, you know, whoever comes in, you need to be prepared on Chicago media. You need to be prepared because Chicago media will pick you apart. They will pick you apart and leave nothing uncleaned on your bones, buddy. All right. So you better be well versed, you know. And when, you know, something doesn't go right, just be prepared to answer in a real, you know, in a real way, but a respectable way that people can say, okay, fine, you know. This is what he said. He said what he said. Because that's what they're going to say. Hey, he said what he said now. You know, and if what he says doesn't fall in line, I'm telling you right now, people are already like, so get away from the microphone. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear that? Did you hear it?
Oh, man, listen. What Justin Fields said, I feel like it's a little bit too robotic out there. He couldn't even finish explaining what he was saying before people were like, he threw the coach under the bus. Coach is dead. And it all comes down to perception, right? That's the quarterback position. Guess who else threw the coach under the bus? The head coach, the GM, DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool went about it the wrong way, but Chase Claypool, listen, Justin Fields was just, I think he said it respectably. How about we get in line for the guys that threw Luke Getsy under the bus before the season was over?
Oh, no doubt. Oh, no doubt.
Listen, no doubt Paul backed it up. He was like, you know what? Not only just Luke, the whole staff, get everybody out of here. Like, I mean, normally you keep a guy here and there. I guess we kept our offensive line coach, but Simo been here through a few regimes now. So shout out to him. He's doing something right, man. Yep. Listen, I love the fact that we have the opportunity to develop a young guy now, I guess, right to your media tip. Maybe that's the one place that Caleb is the most efficient because we saw him kind of not have to deal with that as much because I got issues with Lincoln Riley. It sounds bad. It is a shot. I'm not going to act like it's not a shot. He doesn't teach people to be men at the next level. And I have a problem with that. He allows them to remain. You go into these parents' houses, you sit down in front of them, and because they're talented players, you say what every single college coach says, your child will leave here a man and he will be prepared for the next level. And I have beef with that because Kyler Murray is very unprepared. I think Baker Mayfield, when he first got here, was very unprepared. I look at, you know, there's a litany of quarterbacks that have been under him that have not been prepared for what the next level is.
Yep.
And I have a problem with that because Caleb is going to get, like you said, they're going to pick him apart. And I think it's in part because Lincoln Riley was like, well, he's not talking today. He doesn't need to talk. He's sad. Mm-hmm. He's sad.
Yep.
What is sad going to do for him at the NFL level?
Trying to protect them, trying to protect grown men from the world doesn't work. You know, the world is not, you know, the world is not nice at times, you know what I mean, in these situations, especially in the competitive field, you know, so you have to be prepared for that. That's part of being a man in this world, in this lifetime. Your lifetime and part of being a man is doing stuff in spite of how you feel. In spite of how I feel, in spite of how everybody is looking in on me or may have said this or said that, I got to get in front of this microphone and face it. You know what I mean? That's part of being a man, period.
And I think that's the part that I think maybe if we're talking about anything with Caleb, that he's the least prepared for. Because even the press conferences he did do when they were on losing situations, right? He's up there. He's pouting. I'm not going to say pouting. He's upset. Mm. He's upset that his team just lost. And he's letting it show through his comments and how he's responding. And I would think that, right, listen, I give, they didn't win a lot of games. I know, I'm hoping more this season. But Deion Sanders is one of those people. Prime is like, you go out there, you talk with confidence, you put the onus on you. He's telling this to his son. He's teaching him how to do it. Prime is, they like, all right, it's time for the press conference to be done. I ain't got nowhere to be. Ask y'all questions, man. Get all the questions out because we got our butts kicked today. Like, that is training for the next level. That is building that.
You're right. But you look, I'm you know, we're in the situation we're in. I am taking a positive route, you know, outlook on all of this. So if it's Caleb, then shoot, man, I hope he comes in and he handles all the stuff, all the deficiencies, everybody that said all the negative parts, handle that, throw that in, you know what I mean? And come out here and show Chicago exactly what you can do. You know what I mean? And be that special guy. If you're the next Patrick Mahomes, then be him. You know what I mean? Be special, Caleb, and we're gonna love you for it, man. So I just want to stay positive when it comes to whoever's coming in. I don't want to do it from a biased standpoint. Like I've already kind of seen. Oh, I saw this coming already. No, we gotta give him a fair shot, whoever it is.
That's not a shot at Caleb at all. That's a shot at Lincoln Riley because he sent four or five quarterbacks into the NFL with the same thing. I just think he's a terrible person as far as developing the man. He's a good football coach. He wins, but I don't see a lot of dudes at the next level that are sitting there and they're the, you know, they deal with things the way that Justin Fields was able to deal with them over the last
doesn't 3 years. He don't play a lot of defense, though.
They don't play
a lot of defense on
this team. If you're a defensive player, you got to play with Lincoln Riley. Expecting to let you to give up 50.
Right. Yeah. Mm-mm. Nope.
All right, boys, if we could hold them to 35 this week, we had a good week. Wait a minute.
Like, that's just 30. Crazy. That's crazy talk to me.
Listen, it is. I went back and watched a lot of Caleb's games, and that's why I formulated the opinion. This young man could play because if his defense did anything, he's probably in the college football playoffs and trying to compete for a national championship. Now, there are moments where he threw interceptions that led to you right being in some bad situations, where he fumbled the football that led to you being in some bad situations. But when I got to win a game 45-38, that's putting a lot on my shoulders alone to go out here and get it done versus, hey, y'all going to stop anybody today? Y'all going to do, you know what I mean? So maybe the situation that we're coming into here, he'll feel like, man, I got a defense that takes the football away. I haven't experienced this. Like, I can just go score touchdowns now?
Mm-hmm.
That's all y'all need me to do? I love it, man. I love what we're building here. I think that, yes, unfortunately, Justin Fields is not here, but we're going to have – it feels like a bright future, Lance. It feels like the Chicago Bears have a bright future, and I'm excited about it.
Same here.
Let's see if they can finally get it done. Let's see if we can finally develop the quarterback position. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below and leave a 5-star review over there as well. For Lance Briggs, I am Pat the Designer. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down more on this trade with Courtney Cronin, getting that insider viewpoint. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down.
Peace.